Now, the rest of the story. The sun was going down. As it shone through the hotel room window, it cast an evil reddish glow all about. And in that sparsely appointed room bathed in red sat a little boy gasping for breath, trying with all of his might to assuage the panic that now held him in its grasp. For the day had been long and lonely and fearful, mostly because it was leading to the night. Another in a seemingly endless procession of nights spent all by himself. The child's name was Truman Streckfus Persons. Although at five, he was not yet old enough to dislike his name. But what he hated was his life and the unwanted solitude which was so frequently imposed upon it. His father was a traveling salesman with a singular gift for making any product seem unappealing. His mother was an abusive, even physically violent alcoholic who was often seen in the company of men other than her husband. Except in the biological sense, neither of them was a parent. And thus did the little boy's existence become a succession of hotel rooms, mostly empty ones, and the nights, mostly solitary, terrifying nights. And down went the sun, and in poured the blackness. And as it engulfed the room, the child began to scream. When the youngster was six, his mother unloaded him on other members of the family, and he was to grow up in a household of eccentric maiden aunts. But he was never, as long as he lived, ever to outdistance those terrible nights of his early youth. He would re-experience their terror in recurring dreams until the day he died. But this is the rest of the story. One bright spot in an otherwise dismal childhood was a best friend named Nellie. She, too, had come from a turbulent home. Her own mother had tried to drown her in the bathtub twice, so she understood the little person's boy as few could have, and she was impressed by him. So much so that when she grew up and became an author, she, Nellie Harper Lee, modeled one of her most famous characters after him, the dapper Dill Harris character from one of her most famous novels, To Kill a Mockingbird. The real-life person's child seemed headed for a singularly undistinguished life. After scraping through high school, he got a job as a copy boy, tried to forget the darkness of his youth, but the harder he tried, the more he remembered. He once said of his mother that she was the single worst person in his life. The only thing worse than her being there was her not being there. I have a 30-plus years old photograph of that young man. It's one of those pictures that stares at you more intensely than you could ever stare at it. And in the eyes, you can see the ghosts of dreaded sunsets long gone by and darkening hotel rooms long since vacated. And I don't know, looking at that picture, it seems to me if you listen carefully, you can hear the echo of a screaming child who, like his best friend Nellie, grew to be gifted with words, and then to produce a multitude of American literary history's most remarkable pages. For you know him as the author of In Cold Blood. But now you've met the little boy, left alone in the dark, Truman Streckfus Persons, whom the world knows by a stepfather's name. The pen name he adopted, Truman Capote. Only now you know the rest of the story.